is the Nightcap here on VSiN. I'm Jeff Parles. He's Matt Holt. We're into the final hour of the program.
Did you see the final bucket made by Luka Doncic?
Don't worry. I'm getting
it. It was
there.
Almost underhand.
Johnny Avello will be with us in 5 minutes of DraftKings. And as Matt Holt just mentioned, the Dallas Mavericks win at the buzzer in Memphis, 114-113, on one of the most ridiculous-looking shots yes. I've ever seen in an NBA game, where Luka Doncic, off of like half of a foot, somehow behind a three-point line still, like did like a finger roll from 24 feet and it went in.
Yes.
It was the most ridiculous-looking shot that I've ever seen.
Ever.
And
yes.
Luka, by the way, ends the night with 29 points and a big win for Dallas to at least keep pace in the race for the six.
Yeah. Memphis gets the cover. Dallas gets the win.
And also, too, basically, again, it's a 2.5 game lead now for Dallas after tonight over Memphis. It makes life very difficult for Memphis to
yes.
pass Southwest division tickets here.
Yeah. Yeah. That was probably the dagger for that.
So right now in the West, Dallas moves back within a game of Portland.
Wow.
So the sixth seed is in play still for the Mavs.
All that complaining,
and they'll end up with the six. I love watching Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum play, but the Portland Trailblazers really aren't that good.
No.
They just aren't.
No.
They're a fun watch, but they're an okay basketball team. Like, they're a playoff team.
Yeah.
But they can't beat anyone who's any good in the playoffs.
No,
series.
They play no defense.
They are horrible defensively. And they have a negative point differential.
Yes.
They have a negative point differential, and we're more than two-thirds of the way through the season now.
Yeah, I don't have any faith in Portland in the playoffs.
Yeah, so, again, Dallas within one game. As Matt said, though,
I do think Phoenix is more interesting than people are giving them credit for.
So let's talk about that real quick. Because I took Phoenix at 15-1 to win the West. We're in April, so about a month ago. A little over a month ago. And that was part of the reason I asked Kurt Heelan earlier. They're really good.
Really good.
They're really good.
Yes.
And they feel like more than just a regular season team because they're really good defensively.
Yep.
And look, I understand that it's tough for a team that has never been in the playoffs as a group like this team. Heck, they didn't even make the playoffs of going 8-0 in the bubble last
year. Yeah.
But when you have Chris Paul, who at some point you imagine Chris Paul is going to break through and make it NBA Finals.
And you
finals.
Have a scoring star in
you,
Devin
you
Booker.
Scoring star in Devin Booker.
Yeah.
You have a good bench. You have good depth.
DeAndre Ayton's really solid.
Ayton has become, again, not the elite generational big that Phoenix was hoping, why they took him at number one instead of Doncic back in that draft a few years ago, but has turned into a really good center.
Yes.
And a legitimate offensive weapon on this team.
Yep.
So, look.
And a rebounding machine. He averages 11 boards a game.
Yeah, look, I would say that Phoenix, and again, I understand why teams in the league are like, all right, we're good with Phoenix. We're good with this.
We'll see.
Because it's the first go-around. They've never been there. They know Chris Paul's playoff history. So it's not overly surprising that there's teams in the league that are saying, all right, yeah, well, we draw Phoenix. That's fine. That's better than the Clippers. It's better than the Lakers. It's better than Utah. By the way, I don't think anyone who's in that 7-10 split can beat a Phoenix or a Utah in a playoffs. But if I'm the Clippers and I'm looking at the 3 seed, I'd much rather in a second round matchup.
It'd be Portland.
Well, first off, if you get Portland in a 3-6, that'd be great for the Clippers.
Yeah.
They'd beat them in 5. But if you're the Clippers, I'd much rather see Utah than Phoenix in the second round.
Yes.
I'd much rather see Utah because even with how good Utah has been, there's something about the Jazz that I don't trust. I don't know if it's what we saw last year in the playoffs where they had a 3-1 lead and blew it. I don't know if I can still get over a team of Rudy Gobert is my second best player.
Yeah.
I don't know if you can
Donovan
win a championship.
Mitchell still takes too many bad shots.
Yeah, I look, they've been a great story this year. They've
yep.
been a legitimate top team in the Western Conference this whole year. But in the playoffs,
and they have a good bench.
We discussed it before. If the Lakers play Utah, they're going to be close to a $3 favorite
yes.
against them.
Yeah.
Johnny
on the road.
On the road, no less. Johnny Avello of DraftKings coming next. Welcome back to the Nightcap. I'm Jeff Parles. He's Matt Holt. Happy to be with you. I'm in for Tim Murray tonight, tomorrow, and Friday.
All right.
Which means there will be no hitters in baseball tonight, tomorrow, and Friday.
Got to keep the streak going.
Got to keep the streak going. Of course, I was in your chair last Friday, Matt, where Joe Musgrove threw a no-hitter in Arlington against the Rangers. First one in Padre history. And then tonight, Carlos Rodon flips around and, again, in classic fashion. I had a bet, by the way, on Cleveland in the first five in this game. So that was a 6-0 in the first inning. It was a great loser right out of the gate and one that you knew was dead immediately.
Yeah.
But Carlos Rodon throws the 20th no-hitter in White Sox history tonight and the second already this season. So shout out to Rodon. And again, oh, so close to the perfect game. Just a curveball that got away hitting the foot of Roberto Perez.
Yeah.
So close. So let's bring in our guy, Johnny Avello. Of DraftKings right now. Johnny, you guys are in the news again, in the positive light again. Arizona now, Johnny.
Why not? You know, it's just be our 15th state, and we've only got another 35 to go.
So what I'm referencing to as well, DraftKings' relationship with the PGA expanding even further. Now in the state of Arizona, as Doug Ducey, the governor there, is on the cusp of signing HB 2772, which would legalize sports betting in the state of Arizona. And Johnny, just another great step for you guys at DraftKings with this partnership in the PGA, taking one of the best events there is there at the Waste Management Open there at TPC Scottsdale, and making that course even better, Johnny.
You know, Waste Management's one of my favorite tournaments. You know, if I was in my 20s, you know, that's the tournament that I would probably frequent every year. I mean, I was the kind of guy that used to go down to Fort Lauderdale for spring break. These guys at Waste Management get wasted. I love the way they party down there at that tournament. And, you know, you can imagine what it's going to be like with a book there right next door for the patrons to go inside and make a wager.
You know, we saw our second no-hitter in less than 7 days tonight, Johnny. And I remember way back when I was a Cantor, we used to throw that up sometimes. Will there be a no-hitter today? Since, you know, look, with scoring down a little bit and the way that pitchers are dominating, do you guys do anything with no-hitters? And, you know, will there be a no-hitter today or any of that kind of fun stuff?
You know, we haven't done it at DraftKings. I did it at Wynn during the baseball season. I used to put up a yes, no. The yes would be around 30-1. The no would be about minus 50. I very seldom got any action on the no, but I got popped a couple times on the yes, and they just seem to bet that at the right time. You know, there's probably going to be, during the course of a season, maybe, you know, 3 to 5 no-hitters. Yep. What do we have, 2 now?
Yep, 2 already.
2 already, so, you know, you just got to time it. That's all, when you're betting that. You got to be in the book at the right time, or if you're local, you got to, you know, just play it every day until it pops, or pick your spots. But, yeah, it's something that we paid out quite a bit of money on through the years.
Johnny Avello with DraftKings with us right now here on the Nightcap. Of course, Matt referring to Carlos Rodon throwing a no-hitter, the second in 5 days, the first in the American League this year. The other one was against an American League team in an interleague game, Joe Musgrove last week against the Texas Rangers, the first one ever for the San Diego Padres. Johnny, I want to shift to the NBA. Just because there was a lot of movement over this week in the futures market because of the injury to Jamal Murray. The Western Conference odds really the ones that really moved around here, Johnny. Right now you guys have the Lakers as still the favorite to come out of the West. Has anyone else popped over the last few days at your shop there at DraftKings since the Jamal Murray injury?
Yeah, the Suns have taken a few bucks. You know, the rest of the teams, you know, Portland was taking some money at some point, and they, of course, things slowed down there, and the rest of them are kind of out of it, aren't they? I mean, the way it looks.
Yeah. You know, one of the interesting things, Johnny, that we've seen a lot of movement on, and we saw a ton of wagering on last year, kind of not for the first time we saw wagering on it, but for the first time we saw substantial wagering on it, was the NFL draft last year. That was a true wagering event, no other sports going on. And what we've seen is it really carried over well this year, and there is a ton of action on the NFL draft props this year. And I see you guys, you know, you kind of led the way. You had them out early. You had a wide selection of props available, and I see a lot of movement in the lines, which makes me think there's probably a lot of activity. What have you seen so far in the NFL draft props?
We are getting a lot of action, and we have a lot of stuff up. You know, we got the pick by position, and you know, the lot of different ways to bet it right now. The first non-quarterback selected, defensive props, first offensive lineman or safety to go. So we've got a lot up. You know what, Matt? I feel rather comfortable taking bets early on the draft. It's the late stuff. You know, it's the day of, the 2 days before. That's when the players are really honed in. This is a tough proposition to beat. I mean, I've been doing this for a long time, these NFL props, and very rarely you come away the next day and have a plus. It's a tough, you know, if you had to book this all year, you probably wouldn't be in business too long.
Johnny, I would imagine, again, it's a lot of the casual guys in right now making these plays early on, and then as you get closer, like you said, the late action, we kind of know more. So is it more the early action, the casual bettors, and then the sharps hopping late on the draft props?
No, it's actually the sharps early and the sharps late.
Sharps,
you know,
all the time.
The casual players, casual players will get involved, but you know this. Let's face it, this is really mostly sophisticated play.
Johnny Avello of DraftKings with us here on the Nightcap. Of course, it's always awesome to talk to Johnny. And Johnny, let's one more NFL draft question for me. Is there any prop or any market in the NFL draft markets that you guys have been particularly hit hard on so far?
I don't think so. Maybe the... maybe the 49ers to draft Justin Fields. I think maybe that's something we've taken quite a bit of play on. But, you know, I mean, there's a few like that. I don't think anything's been, you know, dynamically hit hard, Jeff. Not right now.
You know, we saw a lot of big events moved around last year. French Open, Kentucky Derby, you know, the Masters, and then, you know, with the Masters happening in November last year, it looked like golf early on had some momentum, but I saw that it was the 30th. It was the least watched Masters in the last 30 years. So really there wasn't a lot of buzz around the event this year. Kentucky Derby is another one right around the corner that ended up getting moved last year. Doesn't seem to have the buildup going into it that we've seen in previous years. What do you expect from the Kentucky Derby here in a few weeks? And do you think we'll get back to the Derby kind of being, you know, that big, you know, end of spring kickoff event that it always was for us in the sports betting industry?
Well, let's touch on that Masters a little more, Matt. First of all, it was the largest Masters for us of all time.
Wow.
Not only that, it was the largest golf event for us of all time. It was one of our top 10 events of all time. So if people don't think that the Masters is being bet on at DraftKings, they got to think again. really, I mean, it's just amazing. Our in-play was just great, great action all the way. All the way through. Jordan Spieth and Thomas took a lot of money. Spieth probably 3 to 4 weeks out. Thomas a couple of days out. DeChambeau, and so the result also was good for us. But you know, golf for us is growing every single week. There's no slowing down. I don't see it slowing down in 2021. As far as the Derby's concerned, you know, the Derby's a big event, and it's going to get its share of handle. Last year, there were no people at the event itself, so, you know, of course, handle was down. I know Vegas didn't participate in the handle last year, so maybe this year, you know, may get a little bit closer to normal. I think it's going to be a couple of years, though, before the Derby can really show that they're, you know, they're back. When I look at the field of horses this year, there's nothing special. It doesn't look like there's any Triple Crown winners. Some of the horses who were prohibitive favorites, one lost this past weekend. So, you know, the pop's not there. And let's face it, we're just not back to normal yet for horse racing.
Yep.
Johnny Avello with us here on the Nightcap. I'm Jeff Parles. Matt Holt is the other voice that you hear on the desk tonight here on VSiN. Johnny, of course, we mentioned Arizona at the beginning of the interview. Maryland is another state that's coming online very soon. You guys recently got into Virginia as well, another big East Coast state. Just, Johnny, talk about just what it means for you guys being in these big metropolitan markets that even just 6 months ago to a year ago were not available to you guys.
You know, Jeff, there's a lot of action in every state we go in, especially with the digital component. You know, if it's just a bricks and mortar location, then, you know, it doesn't do nearly as well. You know, case in point is New York. Mm-hmm. New York just changed the law, so it is going to have a digital presence. But when you have an app where people can download the app, fund it, and withdraw it from anywhere within the boundaries of the state, you're going to have robust business. And that's what we have every time we go into a new state. I get really excited when we go into new states. You know, I'm happy to be able to offer people of that state what we've known in Nevada for like 80 years. You know, so it's really cool to watch them, you know, play around on the app and bet their home teams and eventually get into a groove when they really start learning how to handicap and play sports wagering the way it's supposed to be played.
You know, we're so used to seeing domination from one team, either the Lakers or the Warriors lately in the Western Conference, but suddenly we have this really competitive race with the Jazz and the Sun and the Clippers and the Lakers and even in the East with the 76ers in Brooklyn. So now without the dominant teams this year and much more competitive races, especially in the Western Conference, has handle been up lately in the NBA? And do you think that we're going to have more handle in the early rounds of the NBA playoffs because we're not going to get all those first round mismatches that we're used to getting here recently?
Man, the West is tough. You're right. I mean, you know, if you're the Lakers and you're sitting in a fourth, fifth position, not a good position to be in, because every matchup's going to be a tough one, even for the top seed, maybe not the top seed, but the second seed. But the NBA has been one of our top offerings, and it has been ever since you know, DraftKings came to existence. Football, of course, is up there, and NBA is not that far behind. So NBA is bet big every single night, and when the playoffs come around, it even gets bigger. So, yeah, the West is going to be awful competitive.
He's Johnny Avello, of course, of DraftKings Sportsbook. Of course, growing by the day, Johnny, as always. It's a pleasure to talk to you, as always, Johnny, and thanks for being with us tonight.
Thanks, Jeff. You know, Jeff, I haven't seen you for about a pandemic, right?
Yeah, yeah. And it's been a Johnny, I was saying to Matt, because this is like the biggest market watch redux we have had since
it sure is.
The pandemic. So, yeah, Johnny, with me being back in town, I'll have to see you soon. That's for sure.
Yes, yeah, I'll stop by and see you guys. I got two shots and two shots of Jack, so I'm ready to go, guys.
Avello's ready to go, everyone. Thanks for being with us, Johnny.
Thanks, guys.
Johnny's right. We were talking before, like, it's a whole pandemic since I've seen a lot of people that Market Watch, a show that we used to do on this network. Yeah. Johnny was on a lot of times. You were with me basically every Thursday, Friday through that 2019 football season. It was a nice little reunion for all of us today.
Yeah, well, I see John. We have Johnny on a lot on the Nightcap. So
right. Well, at least for me, it's the reunion. I know you and Tim have him basically
every week.
For sure. And I always love talking to Johnny.
He's the best.
A cavalcade of knowledge.
One of the true good people in our industry. Just a great guy to be around.
100%. Yes, I would agree. I would agree with that for sure. One of the just flat out nicest people I've met since moving to Vegas back in 2019.
For sure.
Matt, let's go quick updates in the NBA here while we have a few more minutes. because basically everything is done for the night now. There's only one game left, and it looks like the Wizards are going to hold on for a win tonight against Sacramento, up by 9 with a minute and a half to go. Wizards were a 2-point favorite in this one closing, so it looks like Washington is going to get the cover as a road favorite.
Yeah, the Washington Wizards covering his road chalk. And Denver Nuggets, you talked about it earlier, how you would only play Denver. They just absolutely dominated this game from start to finish tonight, getting the easy cover 123-106 against the Miami Heat.
That was the classic fallen star handicap. And, of course, I said it was probably okay, and, of course, I didn't bet it because that's what I do here, apparently, Matt Holt. 123-106, so... doesn't matter what number you got on Denver, you cover.
All winners.
All winners easily on that big night for Michael Porter Jr., 25 for the Missouri product. Oh, by the way, Nikola Jokic, triple-double, 17, 10, 11. Guy's pretty good.
And hit that, yeah. Jokic is so good. I mean, at this point, the MVP is a foregone conclusion.
Unless if Denver just goes in the tank horrendously this last month. But I don't think you can hold Jamal Murray's
injury
against him.
But then who are you
going
to give it to?
Embiid would be the only guy. But I don't think that's the case at this point. We're back with more next with Treats and Beats. That's next here on VSiN's Nightcap. The Nightcap here on VSiN. I'm Jeff Parles. He's Matt Holt. Shout out to Johnny Avello for joining us tonight, as always. Again, I need to see Johnny. Haven't seen Johnny in a pandemic, as Johnny said. So, of course, of DraftKings. And, of course, shout out to our other guests tonight who were great as well.
Mm-hmm.
Ben Standick of The Athletic talked draft with Ben earlier in the show. And Kurt Heelan, who gave us probably, in all honesty, Matt, the most actionable thing that has been said on this program tonight, which was when you mentioned that Anthony Edwards is the favorite in the Rookie of the Year markets.
His jaw dropped.
His jaw, we didn't see his jaw, but his reaction was, wait a second, Anthony Edwards is the favorite in that market over LaMelo Ball?
Yes.
And when someone who has a Rookie of the Year vote says something like that, you better listen.
That was extremely eye-opening to hear that.
Yeah, and LaMelo, again, we found DraftKings is 2-1 on LaMelo. We found a plus 210 at BetMGM.
Yeah.
So there are good numbers north of 2-1, and 2-1 is still pretty good as it is anyway.
Yeah.
Since he was legitimately, as you said, Matt, before, was weighing $10 earlier in the season.
I were talking about it Monday, how his Edwards' inefficiency numbers really turn a lot of people off.
Yeah. I don't disagree.
And it doesn't help playing for Minnesota, but.
No, look, I Anthony Edwards, to me, is a high-volume, inefficient player.
Yeah, he was again yesterday or Monday. He took 22 shots, was 2-for-11 from three.
I don't think he's done anything. Like, legitimately, the best argument for him to win the award is LaMelo Ball didn't play enough games.
Correct.
And Tyrese Halliburton.
The only argument.
And Tyrese Halliburton plays in Sacramento.
Yeah, he comes off the bench in Sacramento.
Even coming off the bench, he's still one of their four best players.
Yeah.
Three best players. But I don't know. I actually agree with what Kurt said before. But I will be betting that after the show. I have to flip some money around.
I'm interested.
Get in the right spots, and then I'll be betting LaMelo at plus 210 at BetMGM later tonight. Treats and beats, Matt. Very easy on the treat. One big treat tonight.
And almost an even bigger treat.
Almost the biggest treat you can get, basically, for a starting pitcher. The second no-hitter in 5 days, the second no-hitter in as many appearances on this program for me.
I know, you're on a streak here.
Carlos Rodon, the tall, lanky left-hander from the city of Miami, threw the 20th no-hitter in White Sox history.
Unbelievable, they've had 20. Oof.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. And Rodon was one curveball that got away from him to hit Roberto Perez in the back foot from throwing the 22nd perfect game in Major League Baseball history.
And on the beat side, a couple of sexy dogs tonight. Detroit, you know, that line went all the way down from 9.5 to 2.5.
That is
at some places.
The Pistons of the NBA, Matt is referring to.
And they were winning all game long. They had a 7-point lead with 48 seconds to go, blew that lead, at least had the ball with 17 seconds to go in a tie game, turned the ball over in 3 seconds, give up a bucket, lose 198 in overtime. And the same thing with the Memphis Grizzlies, who were winning all game long, or up two, missed a couple of free throws, or up two with just like a 1.5 seconds to play. And Luka Doncic somehow does this underhand finger roll 3-pointer off 1 foot and just drills it at the buzzer. Dallas Mavericks get the win, 114-113.
It was one of the most ridiculous looking shots I've ever seen.
I've never seen that. Yeah.
Like you've seen running buzzer beating 3-pointers. Like, yes. Dwayne Wade hit one against the Kevin Durant Golden State Warriors a few years ago. Like, we see that every once in a while. But to legitimately see, and our producer Aaron Oster came in during the break after it happened, and I said, oh, he was off balance. And Aaron Oster basically said, that's unfair to saying a regular person was off balance.
Yeah.
Shot. That's how ridiculous and contorted Luka Doncic was.
And it literally, to your point, looked like a finger roll from 30 feet away.
It was ridiculous.
Yeah.
Something you'd see in the new Space Jam movie, basically.
Yeah.
I mean, that's basically what you would see from there. But again, big for Dallas, as we mentioned before.
Yes.
Keeping pace for the six. Now one game behind Portland. Not impossible for them to avoid the playing game altogether. And then the incessant complaining that you've been talking about the whole night, Matt, from Luka and Mark Cuban would be all for naught.
Yeah, absolutely. And I thought they had a more favorable schedule. I'm trying to look now. I mean, if you're Portland, you got the Spurs, Clippers, Denver, two against Memphis. You're actually three against Memphis at four games, at Brooklyn, at Boston, at Atlanta, Lakers. So Portland's schedule down the stretch is going to be tough. I actually think right now, head-to-head, look, Dallas is at least a 50-50 coin flip to end up with the sixth seed with Portland.
And that would, again, change the complexion of things. And if I was Phoenix, I'd rather see Portland than Dallas.
Yes.
Anyway, we're back with more next here on the Nightcap. Spring sports betting action is just getting started. And our VSiN experts are covering early season baseball trends, the NHL and NBA playoff races. Plus, we're looking at all the key picks and predictions for the NFL draft just 2 weeks from tomorrow. We give you all the tools to make the most of every bet, including our 24/7 live video coverage, odds and analysis for every game on VSiN.com, our daily members-only best bet email, and in-depth coverage of every major event in Point Spread Weekly. The weather and the betting action is heating up, and now is the time to sign up for your free 10-day trial with VSiN at vsin.com/subscribe. It is the Nightcap. I'm Jeff Parles. He's Matt Holt. Happy to be with you here on a Wednesday night. Another no-hitter in Major League Baseball, Carlos Rodon, for the slightly favored Chicago White Sox tonight against the Cleveland Indians. Rodon throws the 20th no-hitter in White Sox history, the second no-hitter of the Major League season already. And if you had the over, congratulations. The White Sox got you there with scoring 8 with the total of 7.5, Matt.
Yeah, what a performance. And it feels rare, even though we've had 2 in 5 days. It's still so rare to see a no-hitter. That was amazing. The fact that he almost had a perfect game and had a shot at it with one out in the ninth, it was awesome to watch, and that was a big-time performance tonight.
Only base runner came with one out in the ninth, a curveball that got away from him, and it hit Roberto Perez in the foot. Not quite
Jose. And Perez could have jumped out of the way.
Yeah, it wasn't quite Jose Tabata with the Max Scherzer one, where Tabata with two outs in the ninth pretty clearly did what Michael Conforto did last Thursday and chicken winged in there. Again, that's, he probably possibly could have gotten out of the way.
He didn't try to get out of the way.
Again, it was a curveball that, in all honesty, who knows where could have thought that was going. But Perez took his base, ground out by Jordan Luplo, ended the no-hitter, and Carlos Rodon has the 20th in White Sox history. The only other baseball game going right now is at Dodger Stadium, where they have almost taken 2.5 hours to play 6 innings right now.
In a game that doesn't have that many runs, 3-2.
3-2 Dodgers as they play in the bottom of the sixth. Biggest blow in this game, Justin Turner hit another homer off of Jonathan Gray. 3 homers already in the first week plus for Turner.
Yeah.
Who's, again,
signed. Hit one into a plate of nachos tonight.
Did the nachos survive?
No, they didn't look good. That was it, man.
That's a shame. That's $15 down the drain.
Yeah.
For whoever, at least they got a home run ball out of it.
Hopefully they didn't hit the nachos. They freak out. You know how people are around you. They'll just snatch that thing up.
Oh, no. Trust me. I know on that one for sure there, Matt. 3-2 Dodgers. Dodgers again. It's going to be this weekend. The Dodgers play at San Diego, who the Padres are going to be limping into that series after looking really bad against baseball's worst going into
three in
season,
a row
against the Pirates. It'll be interesting to see, because I would, if the pitching matchups were right, when Darvish especially would be the one going, which he'll pitch this weekend for the Padres.
Yeah,
that would be the time that I would anticipate the Dodgers would be a dog, which will be a very rare occurrence this year.
I'm not sure
after what we saw from the Padres this week, who have struggled offensively for the most part since Tatis went out with the shoulder injury.
Yeah, with Tatis out, I don't know. I actually don't think they will be a favorite, especially if they lose again tomorrow and lose 4 straight to Pittsburgh. That whole love affair with San Diego is going to go away real quick when you lose 4 in a row to the hapless Pirates.
Again, the Pirates, lowest win total by far. Or 1/12 of the way there already, Matt Holt.
Yeah.
To the over. If you had 58.5.
And how about the Red Sox? 9 straight now.
Yeah, so I'm going to go to them next. I'm happy you brought them up. Doubleheader today. They sweep the doubleheader against the Twins. And last weekend, or the Sunday after the first series against the Orioles, where the Red Sox were swept, I was on VSiN Bet Center like I usually am on Sunday night with Greg Peterson. And we were talking about it, and I have an under 80.5 ticket on the Red Sox, and I was like, well,
just throw that in the trash.
Well, look, 3 games in, couldn't feel any better than I do right now. And now, the Red Sox, they really outplayed.
That lineup's good.
They really outplayed Tampa, who they've struggled with very much so over the last few weeks. Sweep that series. They get the Orioles again. Sweep the Orioles.
Minnesota's tough.
And Minnesota, who, the final game is tomorrow afternoon.
Yes.
Boston's going for a 4-game sweep.
In their 10th straight win.
Of a legitimate playoff team.
Yep.
So, and they beat Jose Berrios today.
I don't love that it's Garrett Richards tomorrow as a Sox fan going, but I don't know how you could bet against him right now at that price. You can catch like +140 tomorrow.
They've been a dog this whole series.
Yeah.
If you've been just rolling it over these 3 games, you're making a nice little profit on Boston. And the Red Sox right now, 9-3, 6-0 away from Fenway so far.
9 straight wins.
9 straight wins for the Boston Red Sox. Right now, Matt, tomorrow, as you said, you can catch, again, a surprisingly good price on the Red Sox. Right now, again, it is Garrett Richards. I understand that. But +140 consensus right now on Boston, if you want to take a shot that they continue that win streak and get it to double digits.
And I think Pineda might be a little bit overinflated. I like Pineda. I think it was a good pickup for the Twins. But this isn't the same pre-injury Pineda, maybe.
Look, Pineda's been solid so far this year.
He's been good.
But I tend to agree with you on that. Also, one other accomplishment today that I should mention, Yadier Molina did something that no catcher has ever done in Major League history, Matt Holt.
Play at 85 years old?
Well, kind of goes to hand-in-hand with where I'm going here. Yadier Molina, 2,000th career game caught.
Wow.
He's the 6th ever to do that, but he's the 1st ever to do it with one team.
Wow.
So game 2000 caught for Yachty. And who is the pitcher today? Even though the Cardinals fell to the Nats, a good win for Washington and a 2nd consecutive good start for Joe Ross, it was Adam Wainwright.
Oh, Adam Wainwright.
Yadier Molina today. Of course, Wainwright has the most starts ever in Molina starts. Molina has caught the most Wainwright starts of anyone, I should say. That's the better way to phrase that.
And look, even at whatever he is, 74 years old, he's hitting like 340 out of the gate, has a couple of homers, including the game winner a few days ago. The guy's amazing. He is the ageless wonder, Yadier Molina.
Yeah, 2,000 career starts. The sixth catcher to ever do it, but the first one to do it with one major league franchise, and that is, of course, the St. Louis
Is there
Cardinals.
Any question if he's a Hall of Famer? That, I mean, 2,000 hits as a catcher, right? He's a surefire Hall of Famer, right?
I don't think he's surefire, but I would put him in.
Yeah,
I know Jay Jaffe, who has Jaws, who's the best indicator right now out there sabermetrically for Hall of Famers, has Yadier Molina on the border.
Yeah.
But I think he'll get in. Just again, the Cardinals have won multiple championships.
Especially in an era where you don't have your catchers start three games a week.
We're gonna see what Matt Holt likes on tomorrow's card in the NBA. That's next here on VSiN's on the Nightcap here on VSiN. It's the Ron Flatter Racing Pond in the middle of its move to the Bluegrass State, Kentucky. Flatter live from Tulsa, Oklahoma this week. There's a discussion of horse racing issues and tips for the Kentucky Derby travel from two men who know Louisville very well. Horse Racing Radio Network's Dan Mason and Horse Racing Nation CEO Mark Midland. Santa Anita General Manager Nate Newby will talk about what he has learned from the troublesome times the last 2 years. And trainer Brad Cox makes a cameo appearance to discuss Monomo Girl in this weekend's Apple Blossom Handicap. The Ron Flatter Racing Pod, available to download today at VSiN, on Friday, I should say. Available to download Friday at VSiN.com/podcast or wherever you get your podcasts. And of course, the Ron Flatter Racing Pod, brought to you by First Bet. It is the Nightcap. I'm Jeff Parles. He's Matt Holt. See if Matt Holt has any first bets for tomorrow in the NBA or Major League Baseball or anywhere that we can bet on. Yeah, you don't have any table tennis for tomorrow, right?
No table tennis.
No table tennis?
No table tennis.
Can't blame you there, Matt. But tomorrow in the NBA, we'll start there. The only game that currently has a line.
Well, DraftKings opens them all. Okay, they have lines on all four games.
So the only line on my screen, I should say, and then I'll get the rest of them. But yeah. I want to ask you on this first because it's your team. And we were talking about it earlier, Matt. The Boston Celtics on the road at Staples against the Lakers tomorrow, laying 6 with a total of 212.
I like the Lakers here in a big way. The one thing the Lakers have done really well without LeBron and Anthony Davis, the last 9 or 10 games is play great defense. And the Celtics have got a bit fortunate. So we talk about, hey, the Celtics are on this amazing four-game win streak, 6-7. But that 6-7 streak includes wins over the T-Wolves, the Knicks, the Hornets, the Rockets. They did beat the Trailblazers by one last night, but that looked like a game that they just as easily could have lost as won. Jason Tatum takes a really bad contested three at the end of the game and drills it. All right, great for Tatum. So I think the Celtics have been a little fortunate in the last couple of weeks in that their schedule's been soft and they've been able to squeak out a couple that were certainly at best 50-50 games. I think 6 is a lot here, and I'm taking the 6 with the Lakers.
Lakers, again, played pretty well on that East Coast swing, all things considered. Did what they needed to do. The whole goal with LeBron and AD out is stay in the top 6. Doesn't matter. It does not matter what seed they get.
Yeah.
Because as we mentioned before.
I think now you want to stay in the top 5 and hope Denver does too.
Yeah, that would be the hope. If you can, well, in all honesty, Matt, If you're the Lakers, do you really care if it's Denver, Dallas,
or Portland?
You don't want
to play the Clippers round one.
Right. Well, yes, that's stay in the six to avoid, well, I don't know. If you're the Lakers, wouldn't you expect the Clipper voodoo would show up in a first-round series that? But no, I would, again, the goal was stay in the top six while they're out. They're going to stay in the top six while AD and LeBron are out. Now it's just a matter of, all right, let's get as high of a seed as we possibly can. And if somehow, again, if you're the Lakers, you get the four seed, have home court on Denver without Jamal Murray, and then see Utah, I would be pretty pleased with that.
Yeah.
Especially with how everything has gone. Other three games tomorrow, Madden. I'll let you pick which game you want to go to here. On DraftKings, Milwaukee laying 6 at Atlanta, Golden State laying 8 at Cleveland, and Phoenix laying 9 at home against Sacramento.
I got a little bit of interest in two of them. I haven't played either, but I'm a little bit interested. Atlanta's got a lot of guys out. I mean, they're just a banged-up team. I think it's 50-50 that Giannis doesn't play tomorrow. But I actually think this line actually indicates a little bit that Giannis is like 70% out. So if you think Giannis has a better than 30% chance of playing in this game, you might actually go ahead and lay it with the Bucks. Because Atlanta, I mean, I looked at Atlanta's injury report again for guys that are already out tomorrow. Gallinari, Tony Snell, DeAndre Hunter, John Collins, and Trey Young's questionable. And he's probably less of a chance of playing than Giannis tomorrow. So, I mean, just... that's not great for them. So, and the other one, I think the Phoenix line, Sacramento got embarrassed tonight. And the things are not going well there right now. They got embarrassed by Washington, but Phoenix isn't actually great in this heavy favorite role against weak teams. Where Phoenix has been really good against this year is against playoff teams right now, current playoff teams. I think they're 17-6 or something against teams, currently in the top six seeds in both conferences. They're good at playing the good teams. This could be a spot where I think, you know, Sacramento could stay within a big inflated number.
Phoenix has played up to the competition. They played down to the competition.
For sure.
Year, except for last weekend when they beat the Wizards by a bajillion on Saturday.
But the Wizards are one of those teams that because of Beal and Westbrook, it feels like an important game where you want to go out and win.
Well, that was after the miraculous win in Golden State for Washington. So that was a perfect, even though it was like 13, I was what type of effort is Washington going to give after that miraculous win?
Yes.
And they were good for a half, and then the second half just got their doors blown off.
Yeah.
Matt, just looking at tomorrow's baseball card while we're here, nothing really stands out at the moment to me other than maybe take a shot on the Red Sox at that big price again. Maybe,
so
but
I'm
going to
play the Phillies.
You're going to play the Phillies tomorrow.
Yeah,
so,
plus 220.
So, this is a Jacob
DeGrom
start.
They never win when DeGrom.
This is a Jacob DeGrom start, which, again, the Mets are 0-2 in DeGrom starts this year. DeGrom has allowed one run so far in 14 innings. In the last start, we'll give up one run and struck out 14, and the Mets lost 3-0. The one concern here, and I'd be alert with this, and this is one of those scenarios, too, where it actually would pay not to list your pitchers tomorrow. The weather in New York is supposed to be bad tomorrow.
Oh.
Rain is in the forecast. Luis Rojas has said, all right, it doesn't matter. We're still expecting Jake to make the start. But if it's looks like it's going to really rain and your best asset, you really want to throw him out there in the rain?
That's right.
And they didn't really use a lot of bullpen today? I would not be surprised if that is a late scratch. If they play,
throw a bullpen
that
game.
Is a late scratch on DeGrom. It's a bullpen game. And then if you don't list your pitchers, you got yourself a good price regardless.
Yeah, that's a very good point. And even if not, you're taking a team more than plus 200 in a situation where the Mets just haven't fared well when DeGrom starts. So I'm certainly interested in that one. Some of the other ones that jumped out to me a little bit was Lance Lynn laying $1.40 after the White Sox start tonight. Teams tend to bounce back from no hitters. Okay, in Chicago, while they hit the ball today, hasn't exactly hit the ball this series either. I wouldn't mind taking Cleveland tomorrow in the plus one if I can get at least plus 130, plus 135. That seems like that would make a little bit of sense. But those were that was really it as you know, at least. And I'm going to bet the Red Sox because I don't want to bet against the streak.
It's a consensus plus 122 right now on Cleveland tomorrow.
Yeah, probably need a little more. I would like to get 30, so maybe it ends up being a pass. But there's certainly some attraction there.
That is Aaron Civale against Lance Lynn.
Yeah.
That's the matchup for that one. The only other thing I consider, and I'm a little bit alarmed with how bad Tampa looked today. Rich Hill has been a guy that I would like to fade a little bit. I know he won his last start mm-hmm. against the Yankees. That was more Kluber outbatted him in that game. I like Jordan Lyles.
I don't hate Jordan Lyles.
Jordan Lyles.
And Texas has given them problems.
Yeah, and Jordan Lyles pitched all right against San Diego the day after the no-hitter mm-hmm. last week. Texas won the first five in that game.
Texas won again today?
Yeah, so I wouldn't mind, actually. I mean, it's plus upwards of plus 165.
Yeah, game. I don't hate that.
Probably for first five, you're still going to probably get about plus 135 on Jordan Lyles, plus 140. I would look to take Texas. And again, I don't think the Rangers are any good, but Rich Hill's just not any good anymore.
No, and they're giving Tampa all kinds of problems this series. So the other one in the same category is San Diego, who's just not hitting the ball at all tomorrow, and Paddock has not looked good in his first two starts.
Yeah, Paddock sure looks like a one-year wonder so far, where it wasn't even a full season, really. It was about 65% of it he was great. And
yeah.
Ran out of gas and hit that rookie wall and was actually sent to Triple A late in that season.
And he hasn't been good so far this season. And he's laying a big price. And I don't mind fading those sweeps. Look, if you tried to fade all the sweeps today, you went broke.
Oh, yeah.
Atlanta lost again. Houston lost again. You literally went broke fading those sweeps as big favorites. Taking plus 165 with Pittsburgh isn't the worst bet.
So Atlanta actually plays Miami tomorrow again. It's Rodgers versus Anderson, but this is one of those where Miami's gotten bet so far.
Yes.
Atlanta opened minus 190, I'm seeing, and is now down to minus 170.
Yeah, I'm seeing some Atlanta action. I mean, some Miami action come in there as well. And people just don't bet against the sweeps like they used to as much.
Well, it's a different era of baseball.
Used to be an auto bet, you know, at the book. We'd see him come in. You lose the first three as a favorite, go 0-3 in the first three, they would come in for that. You know, no way you could beat them four in a row in a sweep. Well, yeah.
Well, that's not how baseball works, guys.
That's right. Baseball is a game of streaks for sure.
By the way, the only game going right now, actually across the four major sports in North America as it is anyway, is the Dodgers and the Rockies.
The Dodgers.
Dodgers still up 3-2, top seven. I will tell you, we were talking about this earlier, Matt. This would have actually not, especially when May was laboring, still could have gotten about a plus 3.5 in game on the Rockies, where you could have gotten a nice little run line at a reasonable price.
Yeah, absolutely. You know what else I think is interesting tomorrow is the Columbus Blue Jackets on the ice, catching a big, big price against the Dallas Stars. I don't like this Dallas team this year. I get the fact that they went to... You know, they beat Colorado and Vegas in the playoffs last year, but I just don't like this Dallas team this year. For them to be laying almost $2 to Columbus feels a little rich.
Tomorrow is going to be the square deal favorites money line parlay for me tomorrow.
Okay.
I can already tell that we're going to look at Carolina, we're going to look at Pittsburgh, and we're going to look at the Rangers and the Caps all together. We'll see how that spits out there. And I do agree with you on Columbus. Dallas should not
too
be that
high.
Big of a favorite. Matt, it was fun being back.
Yeah, absolutely. It was great, man. Thanks.
I'll be back tomorrow for Tim. This has been the Nightcap here on VSiN.